Hi, I'm Attorney Cynthia Perez Alabanza. I'm NGCP spokesperson and head of its public relations department, and you are tuned in to Power Podcast.
Welcome to Power Podcast, where we do an in-depth discussion on all issues relevant to the Philippines energy sector with some of the most quotable newsmakers and important decision makers in the industry. Power Podcast is a production of Power Philippines, the only online publication in the country dedicated to covering energy developments across the archipelago. We cover all news and issues which spark meaningful conversations among members of our growing online community. Like them, we believe that sustaining the growth of the energy sector is vital to the growth of the country itself. I'm your host, Francis Respicio. Let's get on with the show.
And good day to all of you, whether you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, or listening to us on Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome and to this very special edition of Power Podcast. Special kasi ilang araw na lang at election na naman. And this election is particularly extraordinary, not just because of the heated races, but also because of the power situation in our country, especially right here in Luzon. If you recall last year, around May, we had this yellow alerts and red alerts that led to rotating brownouts. And that is the fear of many of our mga kababayan. Yan din ang takot ng ating online community na magkaroon ng brownout itong mismong halalan. And to talk more about election power issues as well as other transmission issues that concern us, we have with us NGCP spokesperson, Attorney Cynthia Alabanza. Attorney Cynthia, good day and welcome to Power Podcast.
Hello, Francis. I hope you're doing well.
Yes, and I'll shoot the first question because I'm sure ang daming nagtatanong. Do we have enough power supply for both the counting and the canvassing of votes? Also, the day itself on May 9. So meron nga ba tayong supply na ita-transmit? So, the floor is yours.
Well, on paper, no, we've been saying this since early January this year. On paper, it seems as if we do have just enough supply to tide us through the entire year. Pero kasi yung balancing of power, supply, and demand, no, there's so many factors that affect it. Both the supply is also cannot be perfectly predicted, nor can the demand. On the supply side, the thing that we really have to watch are the maintenance shutdowns. So there are two kinds of maintenance shutdowns, those that are planned and those that are unplanned. The planned maintenance shutdowns are submitted to the Department of Energy by NGCP in coordination with the power players. And we did this as early as December of the previous year. So yung power planning natin for the maintenance shutdowns for 2022 was submitted by NGCP after consulting with the energy players last October 2021. And this was approved by the Department of Energy. The problem is not everything always goes as planned. Now, sometimes you have power plants that postpone their maintenance shutdowns. Sometimes you have power plants that extend. And sometimes you have other plants who have emergency shutdowns that are not part of the plan that was submitted and approved by the DOE. And these unplanned maintenance shutdowns are what we see in the past couple of years, no? Yun ang talagang malaki yung effect doon sa power balance natin. You mentioned earlier that there was some power disturbances in 2021, particularly end of May and the beginning of June. If you looked at the power maintenance program, the grid operating and maintenance program, wala tayo dapat nakitang emerge power shortage noon, but it happened. Why? Mm-hmm. Because you had all more than 4,000 megawatts. That's a little more than 20% of Luzon's demand. 4,000 megawatts was lost to the grid on unplanned maintenance shutdowns. So yun ang hindi natin maplano. So on paper, yes, sapat. But it's the unplanned maintenance shutdown, the emergency shutdowns that we really have to look out for kasi we've seen the dramatic effect they've had on the power supply balance.
couple of days ago, we did a report, an article, where it says na four plants sa Kalaka are still down. So you have ito, yung kina SL Tech, you have kay Semirara, you have siguro either they're down or prolonged yung unplanned shutdowns nila. But given that situation at this point, what is the worst case scenario that we can expect specifically on election day and again during the counting and the canvassing?
Yeah, like I said, no, so many factors come into play when you're talking about the power supply balance. So we're talking about the supply, how it can be disturbed with unplanned maintenance shutdowns. On the demand side, you know, lots of things can have big impact on how we use electricity. And for Luzon, weather is among the most the biggest factor that can affect supply, and also the declaration of a holiday. Because if you're looking at the Monday to Friday consumption, that's when all the businesses are open, the factories, the offices, etc. You can see there's a huge difference between the weekday and then the Sunday demand. Pag Sunday or a holiday, when the offices are shut off, when the businesses are not running and using electricity, there is a significantly lower demand. No, so I'm still a little bit unsure whether the election day has been declared a holiday, but traditionally it has been. I don't recall an election when it was not declared a holiday. But until that declaration is made, you know, that is something we are hoping that the lawmakers and the government agencies involved, and perhaps the palace, of course, last say sila, would really consider. In fact, that's something that they also should consider, maybe extending for the Tuesday until Wednesday. I know that the businessmen are raring to get their production into full speed, but that there has to be a balancing act, because if you want to ensure the integrity of the elections, then you know this is something you have to think of.
Actually, I'll go into the GOMP, because in the one of the last charts nakita namin, I'm not sure, please correct me if I'm wrong, kung na-update nito, the last charts that we saw, so you have the first 2 weeks of May, okay yung supply. Pero yung last 2 weeks of April and in several weeks after the elections, merong nakalagay na yellow alerts, possible yellow alerts. So, I mean, wala pa yatang yellow alert na na-declare ngayon, immediately before the elections. Pero ito na nga, how about yung after? It really all depends on the yun nga, yung mga unplanned, ano, is it still possible na magkaroon itong yellow alerts na after the elections, especially when the canvassing and the transmittal of votes happen?
Yeah, actually, you know, for this year alone, I think one of the things that really bothered me coming in to this year was in January, we did declared 2 days of yellow alert. Yes, and this in particular bothered me kasi mababa ang demand pag January, and we had to declare it towards the end of the day, mga 5 o'clock, later than 5, after 5 o'clock na. So malamig ang panahon, 5 o'clock na, ibig sabihin, yes, marami ng commercial establishments and industries that have closed for the day, yet we declared the yellow alert. And again, it was because of a combination of unplanned power interruptions, prolonged power maintenance schedules, and derated plant capacities. So sabi ko, you know, it really just validates NGCP's concerns that there will be it's really too close for comfort, the excess levels that we have. I think we also declared again sometime in March, no? So that was the second time we declared a red alert without having come into the peak period, the peak usage period, which we are forecasting to occur at the end of May pa. No? So lots of factors. We did have some very unexpected summer rains. We saw with Dalani Agaton affected ang ang weather systems natin all the way to Luzon. So medyo lumamig yung panahon. Mm-hmm. So on the one hand, you know, NGCP is, you know, commiserating with those that were yung napinsala ni Agaton. But on the other hand, a little bit of a sigh of relief kasi medyo hindi pumalo yung init as we expected it. But again, hanggang May, end of May pa yung inaantay natin. So we're not out of the woods yet.
I'd like to clarify, you said March. Red alert ba ito or yellow?
No, yeah, we haven't declared a red so far. So far, we've only declared a yellow alert twice this year.
Mm-mm, wala pang red. And sana wala nga, no? Sana wala. Sana wala. Sana wala. Sana di maulit yung last year.
Yes, yes.
Grabe talaga yung last year. Okay. Now, people are asking, in terms of transmission, I mean, of course, you see distribution side, merong mga backup plan for sure, si generation. But as far as transmission is concerned, do you have any backup plan, like a plan B in mind that's in place to avert any... Yes. Yes, go ahead. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. In transmission, it's what we call an N-1. N-1 simply means that your system can withstand the loss of one major component. And that is one of our major project drivers. Meaning, ano ibig sabihin ng project driver? Pag nagtatayo kami ng transmission project, isa yan sa mga considerations. You know, there are several reasons for NGCP to build a transmission line. One of them is yung load-driven, meaning we have to widen the transmission highways because we see an increase in demand that will require an increase in the capacity of the carrying capacity of the lines. There's also generation driven, meaning maski sapat pa yung facility para sa konsumo, pero may magtatayo ng bagong planta at kailangan niya ng daanan, yun rin, magtatayo rin kami. And another one is yung N-1, reliability siya, which means yung another word for it, I suppose, is redundancy. So pag maski may naging aberya in one part of the system, whether it's a line or whether it's a transformer, you will, ideally, the consumer will not feel it, or if they feel it at all, it's only temporary, habang nag-shift. Yeah. So those are the things that we have in terms of a backup plan, because we can't really buy and sell power. The law prohibits us, the EPIRA prohibits the transmission operator or the concessionaire from having any interest in the buying and selling of power. In fact, one of the first few issuances of the ERC after it was created by the EPIRA was to direct Transco to stop engaging in generation-related activities. Kasi the idea here is that there's an absolute prohibition para walang mga sweetheart deals. So hindi kami pwedeng mag-shake hands unless it's operational. So on the financial financial side of it, we're not allowed to do that.
But do we have enough, baka ito din tanungin, but do we have enough of these redundancies?
No. I mean, sigurisang NGCP, no, we'd like to have as many redundancies as possible, and we'd like we've been working towards that. No, I've been with the company for almost 13 years, more than 13 years. No? And a lot of our projects really are geared towards improving the system left to us by government. One of them is to ensure that the different components are compatible with each other so that it's easier to manage the spares and it's easier to manage how we move around our facilities and our equipment so that in case there's an issue, it's easy to mix and match so that we can restore kaagad. We are very, very far from ensuring that, but we have done a great deal in terms of doing the redundancies, especially in the load centers. One proof of this is the fact that although on any given day, there will be grid disturbances somewhere. Every single day, meron yan. Pero hindi na natin masyado nararamdaman yan kasi kung meron mang grid disturbances, either zero talaga mararamdaman mo because the transfer is seamless or it's going to last 10-15 minutes. I don't know how many of your viewers would remember the mid-90s na, you know, we had rotating power brown interruptions here in Metro Manila lasting hours on a daily basis. No, so That is a thing of the past.
Nabutan natin yan.
Yes, natatandaan ko yun, you know. That is a thing of the past because of, in large part, because of the efforts at getting more capacities to come in and the privatization of many assets. Because NGCP really has done a lot in terms of improving the grid. But is it enough for us? No. Talagang continuous effort yan yung pagpapalawak, pagpapaganda. And the reliability projects are something that we continue to strive towards.
I'll go into numbers lang because I just wanted to, because na-curious lang ako dito sa redundancies. Eh. So, how many ideally yung kailangan nating redundancies? And how many are actually there?
No, let's talk about it. No, I don't have the numbers for that because it's impossible to have. Because it's not like our N-1 is not like a 1:1 transformer or a 1:1 line, no? It's just ensuring that when something goes out, other parts of the system are able to carry that load. An example of one of the redundancies or the N-1 features that we're trying to really push is something that we've discussed before, yung Cebu-Bohol interconnection. Kasi yung iniwan sa amin ng gobyerno, isa lang yung connection point ni Bohol to the rest of the Visayas grid. So in
the special in towers.
In the island, meron silang mga power plants pero hindi yan sapat para tugunan yung in-island usage niya. So for it to be able to sustain its demand, it sources bulk power from the rest of the Visayas grid where there are large power plants located like in Cebu, in Leyte, of course, no. So may connection yan from Leyte crossing crossing the ocean submarine cable and then going to Bohol. But we've seen before, no, in so many instances where Bohol is unaffected, the transmission system inside the island is okay, but it cannot source power because the latest system is down and or was affected by some weather disturbance. Example, Yolanda. Yolanda really landed in Leyte, doon talaga sa bandang north, middle side ng Visayas dumaan. So though affected din si Bohol, mas nauna siyang nakabangon before that connection was made ready. So it was ready to receive power, but the damage to the Leyte facilities was just overwhelming. So ready na siyang tumangga pero hindi pa siya makakuha dahil sira pa yung mga planta, sira pa rin yung mga transmission lines. Something similar also happened a couple of years ago. There was naman an earthquake in Leyte. Same. Bohol was unaffected, but the epicenter of that particular earthquake, I forgot which year this was somewhere near Ormoc, which is the hub of NGCP's transmission systems in the Visayas, lalo yung iniwan ng gobyerno yan. No? So, we decided, of course, with the full support of Bohol Governor Artiak, no, to pursue and expedite yung Cebu-Bohol interconnection so that if the Cebu, the Leyte-Bohol interconnection fails, they have an alternative to source power from Cebu. This is something that was not even in the horizon of government planning, but we expedited that because we really are pushing for that reliability kasi this will have a looping na. If you think about it, yung dinat na namin, yung sistema ng Visayas, ang tinatawag nila radial, emanating out from Leyte, Ormoc-Leyte, diba? So, kasi nandun yung mga geothermals, that was really the hub and the focus of development ng government then. Palabas siya, may papuntang Bohol, may papuntang Cebu. So, kumbaga single road, walang looping. Ang looping kasi will provide that redundancy because if one part of the loop gets cut, your system can still survive on the other side of the loop. So that CBIP is something that we are really pushing for completion.
Okay. So I'll try to redraw yung mapa ng Visayas grid. Kasi here on one side you have Leyte.
Yes.
And then merong connection dito going to Cebu and then merong connection dito going to Bohol. Parang ganun ang nangyayari.
Diyan rin bumabagsak yung connection galing Luzon.
Yes.
From Naga and Bicol babagsak yan sa Leyte.
Okay. So walang looping, walang alternate. Yun ang yes. So nagkakaipitan sa Leyte.
Correct.
Oo.
Yes. So although ano, caveat lang, no, in the past 10 years or so, marami na ring mga plantang itinayo sa ibang bahagi ng Visayas, no. There are lots of plants that were built in Cebu because Cebu is the load center. There were several plants also that were constructed in Panay Island as well as in Negros. So now it wasn't as radial as it was before, but Bohol, yun talaga, kailangan talaga nila ng alternate route.
Okay. Sige, I'll ask more about the CBIP later, yung Cebu-Bohol Interconnection Project. I still have a couple of questions about that. So, Tony, I'd like to ask about yung bidding sa ancillary services, yung 1,800 megawatts. Because it was supposed to happen March, no? But what happened and kailan ito matutuloy uli?
The bidders actually requested for additional time. And there were some conferences that went on. And we had to adjust certain internal procedures as well to address the concerns of the bidders. So we decided to rebid. And the bidding, the first notice was published in last Friday. April 29 ba?
29.
Yeah. And then there's going to be a second round publication on May 5.
Now, I will go to another topic. Makiki-update lang tayo, makikibalita lang. Any updates with the restoration? First of the, our favorite, the two special towers in Bohol.
Yeah, good news. As you know, no, I think there's so many people invested in that story because it was really an engineering and lineman's victory for us because it was so difficult. Mm. Just to clarify, this is a special tower, not because of anything else other than the fact it's higher than usual at around 130 meters, I think. Higher than the normal. This was the design that the Napa Corps implemented when it built that those two towers. And because of that particularly tall configuration, hindi siya, kumbaga, nasa bag of tricks namin for restoration after typhoon. So it took a lot of engineering and redesign. And of course, the bravery of our linemen to even put up the bypass tower, which was finished in the middle of February. I keep forgetting when it was finished. February 9, it was completed, yung bypass towers. Tapos, after that, the idea really is the bypass towers kasi naman are ERS. And while they are built to withstand yung one typhoon season for ordinary towers, this was iba eh. So, minadali talaga namin yung pag-akyat ng permanent restoration ng towers, which ordinarily should take 8 months, but our engineering team, kudos to them. They were able to finish it last April, 18, 12 days ahead of schedule because our target was end of April. So natapos namin yon April 18 ahead of schedule. So if any of our line personnel and our engineers from our technical department will watch this, talagang saludo talaga ako sa kanila. Yung matatawaran ng ang kanilang henyo at ang kanilang dedikasyon sa trabaho.
That's good to know, no. So but to clarify, April 18 na restore, but yung kailan siya na energize?
I'm sorry, it was restored on the 17th and energized on the 18th.
Okay, so April 17 yung restoration and then energization is April 18.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So and if I got my timelines right, dapat 8 months, yung 8 months ay naging 4 months.
Yes.
4 months, no?
Yes, 4 months. Yes, correct.
I want to go back dun sa loop na sinasabi niyo kanina, no? So, parang ito nga si Leyte, and then you have one here to Cebu, one here to Bohol, pero si Bohol is dependent on Leyte. And you mentioned kanina yung CBIP. Mm-hmm. We needed that Bohol needs that redundancy. But the question here is, ang takeoff ko nito is, when we were talking about that explainer video that we were doing regarding Bohol, you mentioned to us na merong mga merong mga problema kayo na i-encounter, may mga issues kayo na encounter with the CBIP. So, could you share with us kung ano yung mga issues na yon? And just for the, just for our online community, just for our audience to understand, and how, I mean, what is what are the different stakeholders doing about it?
Well, you know, that's another part of our job talaga na thankless talaga. Nobody wants NGCP to come in and build their projects. But everyone wants NGCP to be ready when they need the power. So the reason I say this is we understand naman eh. Tanggap naman namin na pag pumasok si NGCP, ang dami talagang perwisyo, no? But it's very difficult to make everyone understand that while this might bother you and your LGU or your township or your barangay or even you if you're a landowner na affected, this is really for the long-term development of the country. And I was actually in Cebu province the other week, no, to personally handle some of the concerns that we've been having for the Cebu Bohol interconnection on the Cebu side, because it's very difficult to try and get the buy-in of the LGUs when it comes to this. So we're still trying to convince some LGUs to support the project. And, you know, we're always ready naman to get down all the way to ground level, to the barangay level, and explain. But, you know, resistance is still there. And it's not just for CBIP, ha? It's something that we encounter for all our, ano, yung sinasabi niyong redundancy projects, like the Cebu Negros Panay, even the MVIP, no? That's something where resistance was very difficult to overcome, and more ano, more close to home, etong sa dito naman sa Hermosa San Jose, sa Bataan Corridor, we're having such a difficult time trying to convince the local governments to support the project, and even the judiciary na hirapang kami humanap na suporta dyan.
Siguro, let's generalize all of them, whether that's CBIP, Hermosa San Jose, MVIP, o sabihin natin kahit na yung, kasi may bago, we had the release several days ago about yung interconnection ng Mindoro, Palawan, Batangas, Mindoro. Lahat yan, sige, i-generalize na po natin. What are the typical na challenges that you'd encounter? But am I right in saying na, yun nga, local communities, ecological, environmental, saka yung judiciary, actually that's new, medyo bago sa pandinig namin yun. Yung ecological, medyo expected yun.
Most of it is really will stem from the communities. Doon talaga, syempre, nag-umpisa yung resistance, because, you know, we will have to enter property and purchase them at a price that we will not break the bank, because at the end of the day, that will be part of the expenses that we are allowed to pass on, diba? So as a private entity, we want to be efficient in what we do, but as a public utility, we have to be judicious in our spending. So we can't offer the world and the highest possible price to every single landowner out there that we have to pass through. So it starts with there when we try to negotiate for a price to purchase the properties. And when they are unhappy with the price, sometimes the local governments get involved. Okay, sometimes the barangay will get involved, the mayor will get involved, because at the end of the day, that's your constituent and you're supposed to be protecting them. So we understand also why the mayor will choose to mediate, or the barangay captain will choose to mediate on behalf of the local government. Sometimes also our projects will not be aligned with the local government proposal. So I always recall si Mr. Almedo always says na kaya yung straight line na transmission dapat na straight line, no, nagiging parang ahas na paikot-ikot, because you know we have to reroute at the behest of many requests. And you know, at the end of the day, yun ang yung mahirap, eh. Hybrid kami. We're a public utility but a private company. You know, so hindi malaman ng tao kung paano kami ituturing. Kung gobyerno kami, siguro it will be easier to say, wala kang magagawa, it's government. But when they find out it's a private company, then they try to negotiate more. So where does the judiciary come in? The government also foresaw that would be an issue. So we were granted under a franchise the right to expropriate. So if you, and this is recognition of just how important the transmission projects are. Na hindi pwede yung maantala dahil ayaw makipag-negotiate ng isang landowner. So pag hindi na nag-fail ang negotiations, we can go to court. However, and supposedly, the courts will, after the deposit of a provisional amount, when I say provisional, kumbaga earnest money with the court, pwede na kaming pumasok at magtayo ng proyekto. Ituloy yung proyekto. No? And that provisional deposit is really meant for the protection of the landowner. That's an amount they can immediately withdraw. But there will still be discussion if the just compensation o yung tamang presyuhan dapat pang itaas. So magkakaroon ng usapin yan. But in the meantime, that is being determined by the court. Pwede na nilang kunin yung pera. Pero minsan, ang tagal rin eh. Minsan taon rin ang inaabot, hindi pa kami nai-issuehan ng court nung tinatawag na writ of possession o yung pahintulot para pumasok kumit umpisan yung proyekto. So it all boils down to the end of the day, it's really perwisyo. Perwisyo talagang pumasok ang NGCP at magtayo ng kanyang mga transmission projects. But at the end of the day, yan yung perwisyong kailangan natin kasi pag hindi kami nagtayo, maski damihan mo pa power plant, hindi makakarating yan dun sa bahay niyo. So yun, and that's across the board, across all our projects. We have a very difficult time because there's really a huge tendency to think parochially, you know, within your backyard. What's in it for us? Why will it be good for my city? Why will it be good for my LGU? And it's so difficult to explain because if you strengthen the Visayas grid or if you strengthen the Luzon grid or the Mindanao grid, that will benefit you. There will be more, it'll be power supply will be more stable. But that's such an abstract concept that it's so difficult to explain, diba? Tsaka hindi mo mararamdaman naman yung reliability na yan eh. Precisely because when it's reliable, you're not meant to feel it.
So, that's the difficult part of it, I suppose.
It is.
Speaking of interconnections, Sir, because we're also running out of time. Sir, just a few more quick questions. A lot of people are asking about MVIP. So,
yeah, you know that MVIP, it has had a lot of challenges, and it's no small thing yung naging lockdowns for the last 2 years. It was very difficult for us to get into our get our foreign technical experts to come in, no? But you know, slowly nakapasok naman, tapos nasagasaan pa yung submarine cables namin. I think that was finished end of 2020, tapos we discovered as we were laying the second cable na meron palang dumaan na barko at sinadasaan siya. Normally, these things should have been coordinated because, you know, we do submit our plans to the local government authorities and the national government authorities in charge of these. But there was preliminary coordination with us, pero hindi natuloy. And hindi natuloy. Hindi pa nagkakasaraduhan, dumaan na pala sila. At any rate, naayos na rin naman yun, no? But it is delayed. It is delayed. It was meant to be online in 2020. But now we're targeting for October this year, where we're doing
October.
Our best. But the submarine portion has been completed, and there are several segments in Mindanao that have also been completed. And we are just really pushing for the Visayas side.
Okay. Ang last pronouncement kasi in the reports was Q1 2022. But just to ask then, what's causing the delay ngayon to October?
Same. Landowner resistance, LGU permitting resistance, and the usual.
And one final question. And this, not that, of course, we are We respect the choices of our electorate, but this just caught our attention some time ago. Si Vice President Lenny Robredo suggested after Odette in particular na, and to quote her, it's high time that underground cabling be considered. Something, not the exact quote, but something to that effect. From the transmission point of view, what are your thoughts on this? Siguro, I'll premise this also on yung pronouncement ni Senator Wynn when we interviewed him a few months ago. Na in principle, okay daw siya. Yes. Okay daw siya, pero mahal. Mm-mm. It will be costly. Although yes, merong fund na, may fund na gagawin. If I'm not mistaken, there's a law for it. But of course, we'd want to know your view as transmission operator.
To be fair, you know, the pronouncement of VP Lenny is not unfair. You know, she's not the first one to think it up. There are some areas where we have underground cables, lalo na for the city centers, from urban centers. We try to do that. But Senator Wynn is absolutely right. It's expensive. In some studies, 7 to 10 times more expensive. And when you're talking to about the transmission services where we're running, NGCP manages more or a little over 20,000 circuit kilometers of transmission lines. The cost impact of that would be unimaginable. I cannot even imagine. Right now, we're doing, I think, 4 to 5% of your transmission bill. If you decide to, let's say, it's going to have such an impact on the bill. No? Plus, second of all, it's not as flexible as overhead cables. Mas flexible ang overhead kasi, bakit? Pakikita mo eh, madaling palitan, madaling i-upgrade, madaling i-adjust. Kasi nasa air lang, di ba? So if you want to upgrade that from, let's say, 138 to 230, maybe adjust the tower height a bit, do a reconductoring, palitan yung mga kable, and you're done. Di ba? Okay. But if you're going, I'm not quite sure it's doable or even easy for an underground cable to be that easily upgraded. And also maintenance is going to be difficult. It's kasi sipin mo kada may abira yan, hukayin mo. So it's very difficult to pinpoint areas where there are faults, because I don't know if we've ever discussed how we do restoration for typhoons. No, there is mm-hmm. the remote thing where from our control centers we try to energize certain segments. Pag nag-fail, it means pag nag-on, it means wala dun yung problema. It could be anywhere from, let's say, a branch, no? Tapos, pagkatapos mo, ilaline patrol mo. Diba? And it's not as if pag inano mo yan, binaon mo yan, hindi siya susceptible sa ibang conditions. You have earthquakes, you have water seepage, diba, that are less visible. At least, pag nakikita mo sa tore, alam mo na kung sira siya or hindi, madali mong ayusin. You know?
Okay.
So, you have to weigh the pros and cons of that. Like I said, in certain areas, we will be building it underground. I know in Cebu, we do have several underground cables. It's an urban city center. It's an urban center, city center. So, meron kaming mga areas talaga na nilalagyan ng underground for that. But, in terms of converting all to underground, it might not be financially viable. It's technically feasible, but not recommended because the cost will be just too great. Just one last word on that, Francis. If you look at it, even in the more developed, richer, far richer countries than us, like, in the United States, you'll see in the countryside, overhead pa rin talaga.
Overhead, okay. What VP Lenny particularly suggested was underground cabling in storm-prone areas. Yon, I forgot to mention that kanina. If we would have that qualification, would your stand be still the same?
Because storm-prone in this country is your entire eastern seaboard.
Yes.
That's my ano ha. Kasi I started here in 2009. And at that time, the first few storms that I encountered hit North Luzon. Knock on wood, goodness. I haven't seen a storm hit North Luzon in quite a while. I think the last one that landed in Luzon was yung tatlong magkakasabay end of 2020 ata yun. The one that hit Bicol.
Sina Ulysses.
Yes, that one. Yun yung
Ulysses.
Raleigh, correct. Raleigh and Ulysses. No? Yeah. So that was the last one. But then, yun yung mga traditional Bicol area. And I know VP Lenny's from there. Bicol area talaga dati. Yan ang bagsakan ng mga malalaking at malalakas na storms. But lately, you've been seeing the likes of Yolanda in 2013. Etong parang shocker na si Odette last year.
Yes.
That's no one expected. If you recall, there was also Sendong in Mindanao. And
pababa ng pababa.
And akit baba siya. So you're talking about the entire Eastern Seaboard. Plus, another thing, you know, there's so many learnings in Odette. That's why challenging ang trabaho ko, but I really love it because I learned so much. No? Odette was particularly different. Kasi, tawag dito, supposed to be, pag nag-landfall ang bagyo, hihina siya, babasagin siya. Kasi it gets its strength from the water. But Odette was very surprising according to our technical because it did not lose any strength from the time it landed in the southern Leyte. Pagtawid niya into Bohol, pagtawid niya into Cebu, pagtawid niya into Negros, parang minimal na minimal yung paghina niya. So now you're thinking, how do you plan for that when that entire area is now parang it's happened that it still bears the full strength of the storm.
Saka load centers yan.
Yes, exactly. Cebu. Kaya nga, hindi lang si Gov Yap yung nagsasabi na unahin nyo kami. Of course, si Gov Garcia was also making similar requests. And, you know, it's very difficult to say, no, wait, sabay-sabay kayo. But, you know, kaya ang galing na mga linemen namin eh. In fairness, end of the year, natapos nila. Walang nagpapasko, walang nag-New Year yan.
Yes,
ilang taon na yan, dun sila talaga sa field. Nagba-birthday, nagpapasko, nag-New Year. So, at any rate, at in Luzon kasi, pag dumaan yan sa Sierra Madre, the Caraballo Mountains and all of that, basag yan. So, although dadaanan at dadaanan, let's say, Pangasinan and those areas on the east, the western seaboard, by the time it reaches that area, hindi na siya kasing lakas as its landing point in the east. So, you know, if you're going to say, let's do those vulnerable spots, and if you look at the hazard map, that's a lot also. Marami rin yan. In fact, you know, we were just discussing that because every storm is a different learning opportunity for us. So, and oftentimes we do not even wait for government to update their data. We actually updated at our own initiative, the hazard map. That's why we're also updating yung mga wind rating ng mga projects namin kasi nakita namin medyo yung puling nilabas, ano na eh, mahina, hindi na responsive kasi in the way those systems were built by Napocor Transco using the old wind rating, I think si Odette umakyat na more than 200 kph per hour but they were built only for 130 ata 140, so talagang maraming tumumba kasi it's surprising that something that strong will make it that far inland. And Yolanda was the same. Hanggang panay nga, ito tumba lahat eh. So, you know, that can be the subject of study. But right now, the technology that exists is a little bit beyond the reach of our ordinary pockets. Kung hindi nga kaya ng first world, lalo na tayo.
We did learn a lot from you, Attorney Cynthia, and ang dami namin natutunan from transmission, about transmission, like you. I mean, hindi naman kami mga engineer, hindi naman kami mga linemen, pero marami kami natututunan ngayon with this conversation here on Power Podcast. And siguro, We'd love to ask more questions, but yes, we are running out of time. And on that note, we'd like to thank you for guesting here on Power Podcast. Any final words?
Actually, thank you, Francis, for inviting me over because, you know, this is something that touches all of us on a day-to-day basis, but it's not really very accessible. So salamat dun sa pagkakataong makapagpaliwanag kami, and I hope this reaches more and more of your viewers and your followers, because at the end of the day, you know, NGCP, we just really want to make sure that you don't feel us, and when we do our job properly, you won't know us. For those of your listeners and viewers and followers who are interested in grid operations, you can always follow us on our social media pages. We have the National Grid Corporation of the Philippines on Facebook and NGCP_alert on Twitter. We post regular updates on the grid and the status on a daily basis. So thank you again for having me, Francis.
Thank you very much. At saka sa ulitin pag may explainer video kami.
No problem. Anytime.
Salamat po. And that wraps up today's Power Podcast. Tune in next time as we converse with the movers and shakers of the country's energy sector. For your comments and suggestions, shoot us a message on Power Philippines' Facebook Messenger account or email us at news.powerph@gmail.com. And of course, be updated on the country's energy sector by visiting www.powerphilippines.com and by liking us on Facebook. If you want to view this podcast again, check out our YouTube channel at Power Philippines News. Again, that's Power Philippines News. I'm Francis Respicio. Have a powerful day and vote wisely. Let's all think of our country.